This episode of the Daily Observations is sponsored by ZocDoc. Find a top-rated doctor today at zocdoc.com/TDO. Rounding out a seriously holiday-itis week, this is the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast for Friday, the 23rd of December, 2022. I am your host, Ken Ray, joined today by Jeff Butt, managing editor of the Mac Observer. Happy Christmas Eve.
Time to break out the eggnog.
Oh, I like the way you're thinking. I'll tell you about, I discovered a holiday cocktail earlier this year that I will share with you off mic.
Okay.
Because we don't want the kids to get the wrong idea.
No.
But if the adults want the wrong idea, observations@macobserver.com, I will hit you with a very simple, very delectable holiday cocktail recipe. Second part of today's show, Apple seems to have had a bit of trouble on the HomeKit front. Jeff is a smart home enthusiast, so he's going to tell us what's going on. First, though, there were a couple of interesting notes on Apple from Financial Folk on Thursday. I don't even know if the market is open on Friday. Is that like a holiday observed? Is it a half day thing? I don't know.
I think it's open. It's the 26th when I think the market is closed.
Okay. All right. So maybe this isn't last licks. Everybody was all excited Wednesday because the market had a December rally that they've been looking for all December. And then I think the market gave almost all of it back, if not all of it back, on Thursday. But I'm barely paying attention because, did I mention, it's the holiday season.
Right.
The two notes are kind of interesting, though. As Citi analyst Gentleman Jim Suva might be humming the Merle Haggard song. I think it was Merle Haggard, If We Make It Through December. Wasn't that Merle Haggard?
Might have been.
All right. It's a great song. And it's basically all about, man, if we just get through this, everything's going to be fine. And that's kind of where Gentleman Jim is. A piece from Barron's had him writing in a research note, while the December quarter is constrained by supply, China COVID closures impacting production, we believe demand for Apple's products and services is likely to remain resilient through the full year of 2023. And anybody who knows the song, If We Make It Through December, will know why. I think that's what he's humming. COVID, of course, has kind of crushed the spirits of a lot of Apple investors. Some think once we've got iPhones again, people will start buying them again. Others think looming financial issues will keep Apple down. Suva is in the former camp. He says iPhone revenue will take a hit this quarter because, duh. But, you know, things are going to get better if we make it through December. Quoting his note again, investor sentiment across consumer tech hardware is very dour, with many believing that the strong growth seen overall in iPhones over the past 2 years is likely to see sharp declines ahead as macro inflationary pressures take a bite out of consumer spending. We do not believe this is the case. Now, something that I've been wondering about, and it's kind of the one thing that I'm more personally concerned about, because iPhone buyers, especially people who are going to buy a Pro or Pro Max, or, you know, fairly well-heeled, let's say. I'm not so worried about iPhone buyers not having the money to buy an iPhone. I'm more worried about iPhone buyers just waiting for the iPhone 15 Pro Max now, because the whole fever pitch of it's the new phone, I gotta have it, gotta have it, or the whole fever pitch of, you know, oh, it's Christmas, I want to make sure I have the latest and greatest for whomever. I mean, a lot of the big catalysts for buying the new iPhone, just aside from the fact of the iPhone, the newness and the holiday season are both going to have passed.
True. But I don't know that, you know, if someone has been waiting to get the latest and greatest iPhone 14 Pro, I don't know that the fact that they've had to wait through the holiday shopping season and into January, February is going to make them decide, oh, well, I'll just wait until September or October.
Here's the thing, though. February, it's only 8 months away. I mean, there's a difference between I got to wait a year and I've only got to wait 8 months. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you talking, but it doesn't sound very persuasive.
All right. I'm not trying to persuade you. I know that that's where I would be. And I'm not saying that I am indicative of everybody. I just think, you know, like if next year we're talking and I wasn't able to get my iPhone 15 Pro Max, which I'm assuming is what I'm going to be getting because of whatever reason, if we're like, yeah, but, you know, it'll be available in March or it'll be available in February, maybe even it'll be available in January. At that point, even though I know we're not halfway, we're halfway to halfway. And I'm just like, yeah. You know, because I'm locking myself in, not locking myself in because I buy them all carrier unlocked, but right. I'm locking myself in for another, in my head, at least 2 years before I get the next thing. And that puts you, you know, close to iPhone 18 territory.
Maybe.
All right.
But you're also looking at the rumors that the iPhone 15 Pro and Pro Max prices are going to rise quite a bit.
I am not looking at those rumors.
I have been.
Okay. What are we hearing? Because honestly, I seriously have not heard that.
Yeah, we're hearing that the 15 Pro could start at $1,500.
Forgive US. Me. Didn't we hear that though about the 14 Pro and the 14 Pro Max? Everybody thought that they were going to be, you know, much more expensive, and then in China and the U.S., Apple kept the prices the same. I know other parts of the world the prices went up, but
other parts of the country the prices went up. Inflation is continuing in the U.S.
Yeah,
and the new changing to the 3-nanometer. Fabrication process is going to jack the chip price up considerably.
Mm-hmm.
The rumored periscope camera lens for the 15 Pro models is going to mean a considerable price increase. There's just a lot of factors playing in that we didn't really see going into the 14 to raise the price up as much as we're now seeing with the rumors around the 15, which you don't pay attention to rumors as much, so I get it.
I got a hard time believing that, though. And this is probably why I don't pay attention to rumors that much, because it's anybody's guess at this point. I have a really hard time believing that because, okay, if we actually are in the midst of all of the economic uncertainty or upheaval or recession or whatever that people think we're going to be in for 2023, that's an excellent time to raise the price. Plus, you got to figure they're going to try to, because I don't think everybody is going to buy in March. I think there are going to be some people who are going to hold off, and I don't think Apple is going to want to say to them, well, that was stupid of you because now it's going to cost you $300, $500 more, however much more it's going to be.
Maybe.
Yeah, we'll find out. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing.
We will.
We do not know. Let's get back to Mr. Suva really quickly.
Okay.
Because, well, actually, the Barron's piece says he figures there are a billion plus iPhone users out there now currently, and he expects that number to not only grow, but for those users to keep upgrading their phones. He says, our research does not indicate smartphone replacement rates are lengthening compared to recent levels and are holding steady, and in some cases even shortening overall. This implies users value their devices and technology and will likely continue to invest in upgrades on a regular cadence. He's got a buy rating on Apple shares and a price target of $175. There was one other interesting note to me that I think I bring up to say, I can't see it, but maybe you can. Laura Martin is an analyst over at Needham. She has cut her 2023 estimates for Apple, which is really no surprise because, again, you know, this quarter has been just terrible for the iPhone, and the iPhone is still an outsized portion of what Apple does. I don't think anybody thinks that they're just the iPhone company anymore, but, you know, it helps.
Yeah.
So the thing that she talked about, actually, is she's into the idea of Apple really growing its advertising. This is from a Seeking Alpha thing. Martin posited that a new advertising tier for Apple TV Plus could help the company's fundamentals, citing the fact that mobile advertising is a $400 billion per year industry and total digital advertising is worth some $650 billion. They quote her note saying Apple is putting high-quality content on its over-the-top service, but no one is watching because its price per month is too high after its free promotion period ends. Adding an ad-driven tier is an easy way to lower the average monthly price for Apple TV Plus. I don't see it.
Mm-mm.
You don't think so either?
Nope, I don't.
Tell me why.
It's not an Apple's blueprint. Do we have an ad-supported Apple Music? Do we have ad-supported Apple News Plus? Do we have ad-supported Apple Arcade? No.
I think MLS is going to be interesting for ads. And I know I spent much of this week kind of poo-pooing soccer. That's just me being a dumb American. I think there's a big business potential there for Apple. I think that's where a lot of their advertising is going to come from this year.
Yep.
As well as all the stuff that they're putting into, I can't think of the word for it. I'm sorry, the App Store. I do wonder at what point they're going to start putting ads in podcasts.
I hope never.
Well, I don't know that they're going to put them in podcasts, but I could see them putting them ahead of podcasts or something like that.
Or in the podcasts app or something of that nature.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely coming. That's definitely coming, don't you think?
I could see that, yeah.
I shouldn't say definitely because I'm saying that's definitely, don't you think? But I feel like that's just a matter of when, not if.
Yeah, but that's a lot different from embedding the ads into the streaming content.
Yeah, that's maybe an ad beforehand. I mean, you could even argue that they've already prepped us for that because everything you watch on Apple TV Plus includes a promo for something else on Apple TV Plus. I mean, it's possible that they're getting us ready for, you know, when that is a Toyota ad or when that is a, I don't know, Goldman Sachs ad or something like that.
Maybe, but look at the other podcatcher apps. Do they do that?
Sorry, I was actually talking about Apple TV Plus at that point. I switched back and forth. Do the other podcatcher apps do that? Not as far as I know.
No.
A lot of podcasts do that. Obviously, they have dynamically inserted ads based on where you are. Mm-hmm. Overcast actually has an ad thing down at the bottom. And then they're like, hey, if you don't like that ad, you know, pay us. And I'm like, well, I barely notice the ad, so what do I care? But that's like that's practically a banner ad on your screen.
Yeah.
We're going to move off this and go to, I'm really curious about what's going on with HomeKit. We got that. We also have a little bit of a public service announcement coming up in just a moment. But first, a word from today's sponsor, ZocDoc. There's a certain romance around, throwing a dart at a map and just going to that place, getting in the car and driving and seeing where you end up, reading a book based on the cover, seeing a movie that you've heard nothing about. There are so many things that it's fun to be just kind of random about. Medical care shouldn't be one. If you want to make sure you don't go in lacking knowledge, I guess, about the doctor you're going to see, there is ZocDoc. ZocDoc is a free app that shows you doctors who are patient-reviewed, take your insurance, and are available when you need them. With ZocDoc, you can find the right doctor for you in your network and in your neighborhood. They've got specialists for every specialty, whether you're trying to straighten your teeth, fix an achy back, get something else checked out. ZocDoc has you covered. ZocDoc's mobile app is as easy as ordering a ride to a restaurant or getting delivery to your house. So give it a try. Go to ZocDoc.com/TDO and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then start your search for a top-rated doctor today. Many are available within 24 hours. That's ZocDoc.com/TDO. ZocDoc.com/TDO. Santa's favorite elf, Jeff Butts, is with us today. Not only is he Santa's favorite elf, he is also the managing editor of the Mac Observer. Really quickly, because I want to get to your HomeKit story in a moment, I do want to let people know, though, if you're like me, and I know it is the 23rd of December as people hear this, you still have Christmas shopping to do. Found out yesterday, Jeff, kind of exciting, found out yesterday that a present that I was going to buy for somebody, totally inappropriate, and now I've got like 36 hours to make it better.
Okay.
I'm really excited. So if I wanted something from Apple, something fairly pricey, I could actually have it delivered in a couple of hours. I can't remember who it was. Was it Apple Insider ran a story on Thursday, but this will actually still be good until Saturday. From December 22nd to the 24th, two-hour delivery of items from Apple retail stores will be free for eligible products and in certain areas. So some places it's not going to work. Normally they charge $9, but that's been waived for this last-minute holiday shopping frenzy. The offer applies to purchases of iPhone, Mac, iPad, Apple Watch, AirPods, and Apple TV, says Apple. And that's it. Offer is not available on customized Mac engraved products and for certain order types, including orders paid for with financing or by bank transfer. So, I mean, it's fairly, you know, specific, and it's only going to be for certain areas as well. But if you find yourself in a total crunch and you weren't sure and you didn't know, check out what Apple has to offer, because it might save your holiday bacon. All right, so I've sort of been conscious of something going on with HomeKit. It seems like things got ramped up a bit on Thursday. Can you please let people know what the issue has been for HomeKit, when it started, and what's going on now?
Yeah, beginning with the beta for iOS 16.2 and other associated operating systems for other devices, Apple has retooled the architecture behind the Home app. And, you know, Apple hasn't said exactly what those changes are, but it is billed as providing better performance and better reliability for HomeKit accessories. And for many of us, that's been the case. I've noticed myself that certain HomeKit accessories are, they will respond faster, they will respond more reliably than they used to. But not everyone's mileage is reflective of that. And, you know, when you upgrade the home architecture, you have to upgrade everything in that home setup to the latest operating system version. So a lot of people haven't done it yet, but those who have, some have been having issues. And, you know, those issues can involve devices getting stuck in an updating or configuring status where they say that they're updating, but they never finish. Devices disappear completely from your the home app. Trying to invite other people to share your home just doesn't work. HomeKit secured video recording doesn't work, and a few other issues. And so,
Hang on, before you tell me the next step, can I ask you a question really quickly? When you say you have to update everything, is that my Mac, my iPhone, my iPad, my HomePod, or is that that smart TV that's connected to it, that video camera that's connected to it? When you say update everything, is it all your Apple gear, or is it
your Apple devices?
Okay. So yeah, it's
your Apple devices. So, and that, I mean, that goes anything that can, anything made by Apple that could potentially interact with the Home app.
Okay.
Whether it's your Mac, your HomePod, your Apple Watch, your iPhone, your iPad, your Apple TV.
Right.
All of the above.
Okay. And so,
Because of the issues that, apparently a large number of people have been having, and I've seen anecdotal evidence in a couple of cases on Reddit and on Slack, and now in the public-facing version of iOS 16.2, Apple has actually removed that new home app architecture. So you can no longer do that upgrade, at least as of right now. Unfortunately, those people who have already done it, they're stuck.
There's no way to step it back.
There is no way to revert to the previous architecture, at least not that Apple has shared so far.
All right. A lot of times you talk about smart home stuff, and I'm sad that I don't know what you're talking about.
Right now you're glad, aren't you?
Yeah, today I am not sad that I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, conceptually I know what you're talking about, but yeah, that's kind of a drag. Forgive me, because I may have been so caught in my question. The uptick of this then doesn't have anything to do with the IoT devices around the house. You're saying that phones are getting stuck in update, or iPads are getting stuck in update.
No. I mean, the update succeeds on the iPhone. You know, you get your home architecture updated, but then the accessories have to be readjusted to the new HomeKit APIs, and they're getting stuck, and so you lose the ability to turn your lights on and off. You lose the ability to record your HomeKit secure video.
How much of this, if any of it, is tied into the recently released Matter standard?
Nobody has said, and here's the thing: is I mean, from everything that you can see, unless it's just because I don't have any matter, any non-HomeKit matter devices in my setup so far, mm-hmm. there's no matter option in iOS anymore. In an early beta of, I want to say it was iOS 16.1, in an early beta, if you went into settings general, there was an option there for matter, and that's been gone since the following beta, and it's never come back as far as I can tell.
I hope it gets fixed, especially for the people who like were using this and relying on it. I know I've said this before, but I should get you together with the guys from Home On, specifically Richard Gunther, because first of all, he would have complaints as loud as yours, maybe louder. And I mean, you know, offense, Richard, because I think he's a listener, but you guys actually know what you're talking about. I should introduce you both for one episode of this show, and I'll just sit back and let you guys run.
I mean, in my case, I'm complaining on other people's behalf because mm-hmm. I don't have any problems.
Yeah.
You know, I tell my lights to turn on or off, they turn on or off. I tell my camera, show me this footage, it shows me the footage. But a number of people who, you know, they know what they're doing, they're having problems. One of them is actually Jeff Gammon.
Well, Jeff Gammon has problems, though.
Well, but beyond those.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, next week we're actually doing week of a special week of, you know, year past things, but we'll have to keep an eye on this into the first part of January, certainly.
Yep.
And of course, I assume if anything breaks on the breaking stuff, people can check out TMO as well. Hey, if you have a question or a comment that you want to send our way, we would certainly love to hear from you. Observations@macobserver.com is our email address. Observations@macobserver.com. You can also hit us up on Twitter. We are at TMO Daily there. If you want to follow me online, I am at macOSKen on Twitter. You can also visit my website, macOSKen.com. Jeff, please remind people the best ways to follow and get in touch with you.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter as at Clefmeister, as well as running the at Mac Observer account. And by email, you can hit me up at jeffb@macobserver.com.
Advertising handled by Backbeat Media. Online at backbeatmedia.com. The Daily Observations is a production of the Mac Observer. From the latest news to how-tos, your source for Apple News is macobserver.com.